Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, my guest is Mitch Williams. Mitch is an international award-winning magician and sleight-of-hand artist, an inspirational speaker, and an authority on creativity, personal transformation, and peak performance. As an entertainer, he has performed for audiences throughout the U.S. and Canada, in Japan, and in Europe. As a speaker, Mitch has presented seminars and workshops which combine his outstanding magic with uplifting and thought-provoking messages on the real magic within and around all of us. For over 35 years, he has been an avid student of cutting-edge information on human development, transformational psychology, future studies, and psycho-spirituality. His book, A Call to Magic, The Artful Science of Transforming Self and World, is filled with practical suggestions on how to radically alter your perspective on life and the world around you and live a life of true magic and inspiration. Today, Mitch and I will be talking about his unique viewpoint of using magic as a way to improve your quality of life to become happier and more fulfilled. So let's just get started. You know, hi, Mitch. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lynn. It's a pleasure to be here.
And as I said, I love the tying in of magic with kind of creating magic within each person's individual world. And so as a professional magician, you've been described as an authority on personal transformation. And just kind of tell listeners, how does magic fit into this self-help arena?
Well, I think it ties in a couple different ways. First of all, magic is the perfect metaphor for rising beyond and above what we think of as possible. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, reaching our potential and reaching beyond what we think of as our potential, you know, because magic really is about doing the impossible or what seems impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And magic is also about going beyond our perceptions of what's real.
Hmm.
You know, I can attest as a sleight of hand performer that mm-hmm. our perceptions are never completely accurate.
That's very true.
Of the world. And that's okay so long mm-hmm. as we remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we forget that we start getting into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to always be able to look beyond our current perspective on the world to something more, to be able to expand it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think magic also encapsulates one other important idea, is that magic, for me, is a perfect metaphor for the creative process itself.
Mm.
I mean, if we stop to think about it, if we could do real magic, if I could just snap my fingers and suddenly whatever I wanted would appear right in front of me,
Yeah. Well,
that process would still entail having some kind of an inspiration of what I want to create, creating a mental image of what it is that I want, and then somehow causing it to become a physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you and probably a lot of your listeners are very familiar with that process.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's a process of creative visualization, of goal setting, of, you know, manifesting what we want in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of it as a magical process because it allows us to do things that might have seemed impossible otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. I love you keep using the word magic, and I agree that word is a perfect metaphor, as you said, for rising above what is possible. And it has a very special feeling to me, and I think to a lot of people, too. We think of just magic. It just feels good. It feels wonderful. It feels open-ended, like anything is possible. And then, as you were tying it in, the knowledge that our perceptions are not necessarily accurate. I've watched a few magicians. I love magicians. I love the whole fascinating thing of magic. And I am just, I'll watch somebody and I'll think, I believe in magic because I can't see how else they did it. But there is something beyond my immediate perception that is going on. And I think that's the great message, is that your perception is what it is, but it's not always accurate, and there is something beyond
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that experience is the other really important aspect of magic for me.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, I talk about what I call magical moments.
Mm.
And it's one of those moments where you're completely caught up in a single moment of time, that single experience, so that everything else goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your sense of time may expand or contract or stop completely.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham Maslow called these peak experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And Eckhart Tolle speaks about that as being totally in the now,
mm-hmm.
the power of the now. And, you know, when I perform magic for people, that's the real magic. I don't even think of it as an illusion so much as a truly magical experience,
mm-hmm.
where we get caught up in this moment of wonder,
mm-hmm.
of awe and mystery. And,
yeah.
and it's magical not just for the audience, but for me too, because I'm experiencing it right along with them.
Hmm.
So there's something very powerful when we can connect in one of these magical moments.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You just used, again, some of my favorite words of wonder, awe, mystery. And I think if somebody can really get into that place, that magical place, what you're referring to, and look at everything with that wonder and awe and see that we are just a part of something that is so much bigger than us and so much more magical than we can possibly conceive, and to just get into that flow and have those peak experiences, that's where the real richness of life comes in.
Yeah, and you know, I think the more we are open to those experiences, mm-hmm. and the more we look for them, the more they begin to become a regular part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a temptation oftentimes to downplay those experiences when they do happen, to just think, oh, you know, that was kind of nice, but it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it is.
Yes.
It's central to what our existence could and perhaps should be.
Mm-hmm.
And when we, you know, really open ourselves up to those moments and make them a more regular habit in our lives,
mm-hmm.
it transforms everything else in our lives as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're manifesting ourselves into the outer world is transformed too.
Right, and you said to be open to those experiences, to be present to them, to not discount them, and that's also very key, I think, to living that very satisfying life, is to not look at everything as just routine and the same, because nothing is ever the same moment to moment, even if I've driven down the same street 500 times, it's not the same. And so I'm not going to quote, I think an Einstein quote, I'm not going to quote it directly, you're probably quite familiar with it, but it is that those people who are not seeing the magic and the awe in the world are really kind of are dead in a way, dead inside.
Well, Einstein is one of my favorite people of quoting, and one of my favorite quotations is he said that the most beautiful thing we can mm-hmm. experience is the mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
That it's that sense of the mysterious that's the source of all true art and science.
Mm. Yes.
And yeah, if you're not open to that, you're missing out on the big picture. You're missing out on what life really can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's actually the quote I was trying to think of, but I didn't have it memorized quite as well, but that's the sense of it, yeah. So how can somebody begin to get into this habit, use magic to improve their quality of life, to be happier and more fulfilled? How can they begin to cultivate this?
Well, I think you have to begin by starting to look for the magical mm-hmm. around us.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, there is magic all around us all the time,
mm-hmm.
and we just forget to look for it. We forget to notice it.
Yeah.
So it's noticing those magical moments when they occur. You know, and it can be anything. It can be something simple. It can be, you know, stopping to look at a flower, and suddenly it becomes something totally new, something different, something like you've never seen before.
Yeah.
Even if it's a something that you have seen hundreds of times,
mm-hmm.
you know, that moment, it is being reborn mm-hmm. in our awareness, in our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that openness that allows us to begin to tap into that. So I think that's the first step, is to just begin to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to not be judgmental about where it might come from, because, mm-hmm. you know, some of those experiences that we might have even perceived as negative or painful
mm-hmm.
can become the source of some of those magical moments. And mm-hmm. even in the midst of trials and our tribulations in life, there is something profound that can come through if we're really looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you know, we don't have to do anything differently necessarily. We just have to look for that sense of magic that's around us all the time.
Mm-hmm. And be open, as you were saying, to it coming from any place, even through a moment of pain.
Sure.
Yeah, and I definitely have a personal experience with that, of being in a very not a good place, just because I don't feel like telling my story. But and I had an experience through being in that really dark place of magic, of mm-hmm. really what I felt nature communicating to me, that I just wasn't meant to live in this dark place, that I was meant to live in a place of more light. And
yeah.
And that was one of my most profound magical moments. And
well, you know, I think that the difficulty comes not from having painful experiences.
Mm.
It comes from resisting whatever experience we're having.
Oh, yes.
So if we're having a painful experience and we judge it as wrong and, you know, it shouldn't be that way, and we start resisting it, well, that's what shuts the door to those magical moments.
Wow, yeah.
So it's important to, you know, really accept and embrace whatever we are experiencing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Eckhart Tolle, again, he points out that there's never a problem right now. It's only when we project ourselves into an imagined future that there is a problem. Because whatever the situation is right now, if we're just present with this moment,
mm-hmm.
we can deal with it.
Hmm.
And then when the next moment comes, we can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's allowing ourselves to just be there with that, that not only brings the magic into our lives, but it also allows us to respond more effectively to those challenges when they do arise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So instead of what you're saying, and Eckhart Tolle was saying, don't judge the experience, because it cuts off being able to experience magic, and just view it as something that's going on right now. Don't let the brain take it too far into the future or drag things up from the past. Just stay present with what's going on.
Sure.
And move through that. That takes a lot of practice.
It does. It takes a lot of mindfulness.
Yes, mindfulness, yeah.
Paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Just paying attention. And you know, that's the first step, is when you notice
mm-hmm.
that you're resisting. first of all, you have to be careful not to start resisting the resistance.
What do you mean by that? What is that?
Well, when you notice that you're resisting something, that you're maybe having a negative perspective or a negative attitude towards an experience that you're having, it's easy to start to beat yourself up over that.
Oh, yeah.
Say, oh, man, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't look at it that way. You know, instead, you just stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you step back, and you just look at the resistance.
Mm.
You don't judge it. You don't try to fight it. You don't try to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You just notice what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in itself, can often become a magical moment.
Hmm. Yeah, so not layering on top. Judgment on top of judgment. Now I see what you mean. A lot of people will do that.
Yeah, it's so easy to get into the habit of reacting to our reactions.
Wow. Yes, it is. So you brought up the word mindfulness, and I'm sure I know my listeners have heard this term before, and I always really try to drive home on my show that it is a practice, and you made reference to that too, that it is. In our society, we're not conditioned to be mindful. We're conditioned to be, again, thinking about the future, thinking about the past, concerned about what somebody thinks, you know, just all these different places without being in the moment. And so it takes a very concerted effort to be mindful.
Yeah.
But
it takes paying attention.
Yeah, paying attention. And then that can become a habit then. Once somebody really goes in that path, then it becomes a little bit easier, right?
Yeah. I mean, it does take an effort, although I tend to avoid using that terminology.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Because when we think of effort, we can think of trying, you know, and striving, and all of the things that take us out of the moment.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's accepting the moment that allows us to be there. But it does take that mindful attention,
mm-hmm.
of paying attention. And, you know, one of the other mistakes I think we make is that we think that some experiences should be spiritual,
mm-hmm.
and some, you know, like at work or, you know, dealing with trying people and relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's over here, and then spirituality is over there.
Yeah.
But you can be mindful in any experience, and the more you do it in the daily grind and the
mm-hmm.
and the difficulties, the more that you will make it a habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when you're in that place of mindfulness, as you're saying, then the magic, you're more present to it, and then life becomes richer.
I think what happens is that it's not that life even changes so much, is that we become more aware of the magic that's already there as the background to our experience. It's always there to be experienced.
Right.
It's just that we block ourselves from having it, from experiencing it.
Yeah. A very interesting way to approach the world and to look at the world. And I know you do inspirational speaking, which is different than motivational speakers. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you do and how you get this message out to audiences?
Sure. Well, you know, I talk about some of the main themes that we've already been talking about and how to bring them into our lives. And I do make the distinction between inspiration and motivation simply because the way we normally think of motivation is we're going to get all emotionally hyped up.
Mm.
And we're going to use that as the impetus to achieve whatever we want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, the emotional level, as useful as it can be, is fleeting and it's changing and it's a totally abstract level of experience. And it's not very surefire because you can't maintain any emotional experience for very long at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always changing. That's the nature of the emotions. They have to flow. Mm-hmm. So trying to use that type of emotional motivation as the key element to our achievement can be very frustrating and disappointing oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when we're inspired, when we have an inspiring sense of purpose, that can carry us through even when we're in our emotional lows. You know, and it doesn't matter how we feel emotionally, as long as we're connected to that sense of inspired purpose that we get from our intuition and make it a part of what we're doing, that will keep us on track and keep us effective at what we're doing, even when we don't necessarily feel like doing it.
Interesting. Yeah, I can see the difference there. That, you know, motivation is a fleeting, as you described it. It's an emotion. It's something you're feeling. And
even the words motivation and emotion come from the same root.
Huh, I see, yeah.
So, yeah, they're very similar, and it's about motive and emoting and things like that. And, I love digging into the language that we use and finding the meaning that's hidden behind it oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. It's important. I mean, words are not just words. They do have energy and power attached to them.
Yeah, well, if you think of magical processes, you know, every archetype of magic, they use magical phrases and magical words, and I think there is a magic to language.
Mm-hmm.
There's a power to words because words represent our thoughts, and the thoughts are the creative force that we use in our lives.
Yeah.
So words, the language, is kind of a concretization of those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thoughts are creating our reality.
Absolutely.
The name of the show, and that's exactly what you're saying. So do you use magic in your presentations?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I started out as purely as an entertainer, but then I was drawn to peak performance and creativity and a lot of these types of ideas that have had meaning for me in terms of achieving my goals. And found that I had as much of a passion for these processes as for magic itself, and so I started combining them together in sort of a philosophical approach to magic, and using magic, really dynamic, astounding, if I do say so myself, magic that helps to get across a lot of these main points that I talk about, because it presents them in a really engaging, entertaining way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring that experience of wonder into the presentation of ideas, it makes them more real and more memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to take them in and retain them a lot better.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would happen. If you're presenting to a group and you're starting off maybe bringing in magic as an actual magic act that you're doing or something that you're doing, then it does put people in that place of wonder and kind of pulls them off that feeling of this is concrete reality and that's what everything is, is start to put them into that place of wonder. So I can see how that really then opens up the mind and allows the messages to get in.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So long as you're careful not to allow people in, to get stuck into the place of trying to figure it out.
Yeah, interesting. So
which
how
for
do
some
you...
magicians can sometimes happen.
Yeah.
You know, that tends to be a direction that people can choose to take.
Yeah.
But I try to get into the wonder myself, and that tends to take them along with me.
Mm-hmm. So if you see somebody maybe in the audience that's trying to figure things out, do you address that, or you just let them go on their way?
Well, it depends on the context. Uh-huh. In a big audience, usually I wouldn't necessarily address it directly, except, you know, maybe subtly.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I also do close-up magic where I'm doing magic for people one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
And then I just address it lightheartedly.
Uh-huh,
you know, they're going to make an issue of it, but I'm not. I'm just going to laugh about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
Right.
I don't care how it's done. I care why.
Yeah, right. Well, it's such a unique blend. I mean, I just really still am kind of enamored by the fact that you start out as a magician and entertainer, and then you had this interest in peak performance and how you married them. And I don't know of anybody else that's doing this. Maybe you do, but I think it's a very unique approach.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have the book. Can you get it on Amazon? Or?
Yeah,
okay.
Just search for A Call to Magic, and my name would help, Mitch Williams.
Okay.
A Call to Magic on Amazon.
Great.
They can also, I have a Facebook page set up for it, A Call to Magic on Facebook.
Okay.
They can find the book.
Great.
And through my website also.
Awesome. So your website is MitchInspires.com.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. And then, again, the book is A Call to Magic. You can get it on Amazon, search for Mitch Williams. So there's lots of different ways. So if somebody goes to your website, can they get more information about what you do and maybe how to hire you if they want to hire you as a presenter?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Great. And do you travel? I know you're located...
I don't travel as much as I used to, but mm-hmm. I have, and I still do whenever there's call for it. I've been all over the United States. I've toured through Canada. I've been to Japan twice. I've been to Europe twice.
Wow.
I tend to stay a little closer to home these days, but, mm-hmm. It just really depends on who wants me where.
Yeah.
Because I will go anywhere.
Yeah. What a wonderful, wonderful career you've built for yourself and passions that you're pursuing.
Thank you.
You know, it's my passion to get this information out to people that, as we were saying, the perceptions are not accurate. There's the thought filters. There's lots of things that are keeping people from seeing the true reality behind the reality and the magic that's around them.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously there's a lot more depth to these ideas. We're just barely scratching the surface here. But, I go into it in a lot more depth in my book. So if people are interested, they can check that out.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I'm going to get the book because I'm very interested, too. And, of course, I know we're really short on time here to really be diving too deep into these topics. But I think it gives people an overview of what's available. And then
sure.
If it's interesting and intriguing, then absolutely, listeners, you'll pick up the book, A Call to Magic. So, Mitch, I'm just going to go ahead and thank you for joining me today. It was kind of short and sweet, but...
Well, thanks so much for having me, Lynn. I really, really enjoyed our conversation.
Great. And listeners, just again, it's MitchInspires.com. The book is A Call to Magic. I've been talking to Mitch Williams. So just go out there, find the magic, find the inspiration all around you, and, of course, be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.